in that. But in the book of Jonah, start the first verse. I'm telling you what, let's go to the third verse and read our scripture text, okay? Jonah, chapter 1, in the third verse, would you stand to your feet? And I wanted to read what the word tells. This is my life, folks. This word is my life, okay? And walking with God, His Spirit is life, is our energy. It is. It's salvation. It's healing in that Spirit. And walking that word. It's deliverance. It's power, all the power of the enemy. It suffices if we walk in the Spirit, walk with Him daily and in the Word. That gives us power to overcome all the power of the enemy and all the vices of the enemy. And it works. I'm going to tell you what this word works. It does. And the third verse together. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. The Bible said that every servant falls or rises before his own master. What does that mean? That means exactly what says that every one of us is an individual. And every one of us has to give an account to God for what God calls us for and where God calls us and what God calls us to do. When you give yourself to God, you don't just say, well, I'm saved now and I go to church and I want to do what I want to. When you give yourself to God, He wants all of you. When He wants all of you, we are to obey Him in every aspect of our life, body, soul, and spirit. I feel the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I feel a witness of the Holy Ghost. Okay. And listen to what He's saying now. He said, Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Maybe you may sit down. Maybe see it. And I want to preach a message. It is not out of place. It's very much in place that God gives to us. Okay? It's running from God. Now, sometimes I have preached messages, Brother Val, we talk together. Sometimes we break them, we did. And ourselves didn't see how it would match the congregation. And I'll tell you the story when I was preaching in the black church in New Orleans some years back. And the Lord helped me, had me to preach on something that I wouldn't ordinarily preach on. Okay? And so every night I preach on common law, husband and wife. And I told him, I said, Lord, I'm not preaching. You know, the word, I'm not preaching. But every time I seek God, that's what He gave. And the pastor's wife, which got healed paralysis, had a stroke and an arm, you've heard the testimony many times, had hung down with a rag. During the prayer, the anointing of God was going to heal. And in the prayer line, I told her, raise your hand. Immediately she raised her hand to heal by the power of God, got healed, and she testified many times. But she told my late wife at that time, she said, you tell him to keep preaching what he's preaching because so-and-so lived in common law husband and wife, so-and-so lived in common law husband and wife, so-and-so, and in church form. And that's why God had to preach it because that's exactly what they needed. And that's what God does. It's great. So I don't apologize for the message because this is what God gives me this morning is running from God. Running from the God or running from the presence of the Lord. Running from the presence of God, we say, we're not running from the presence of God. I'm not running from the presence of God. But if you're disobeying God, you're running from the presence of God. If you're not doing what God told you to do, you are running from the presence of God. You might say, but I love the presence of God. I love the Spirit of God. I love the fear of God. But running from the presence of God is not just running from feeling. It is disobeying God. And Jonah was a man of God that disobeyed God. We can't hide behind our Christianity. We can't hide behind our position and say, look what I've done for God. Look who I am. That makes no difference today. Today is another day. Today we must serve God. Every one of us must serve God. Every one of us are called different. Paul said he was called according unto the grace of God that God gave him. Now, God gave Paul grace. Grace is favor of God. God gave him favor because Paul had some things that other ministers he did not require, and the volume of the things that Paul went through. The disciples went through things. They were persecuted. They were beaten for his name's sake. But Apostle Paul went through things almost daily. Now, the reason why he said that we were made a spectacle to the world, when he said, when we were put down and persecuted, you was lifted up, and we were weak, said, you were strong. And what Paul's saying is that we have to become an example. God used examples in the Word of God to let you know that there's nothing that you and I can't do through God. In the Old Testament is a great example of Job. You even hear the expression people use, like Job. And I don't think there's anybody going through, I know I haven't, going through what Job has. I haven't went through it. Probably all the people in the Bible went through. But I know one thing, that God helped me through everything I go through, and God helps you through everything that you go through. That is the goodness and the grace of God. I do know one thing, there's things that I would not have been able to take physically, nor mentally, or emotionally. Every one of them has been disturbed to death if it wouldn't have been for the grace of God. And I've stepped out of things and crossed over mountains and through deep rivers spiritually, and I come out the other side and I blamed on God. I said, I couldn't have done it without God. I could not have done it. I marvel at what it went through by God because of the grace and the strength of God. It was something that was not of my own, but it was something that came from God. It's called grace, the favor of God. And every one of you has had the favor of God in your life. Amen. I have had the favor of God. I feel the Lord in this place. I feel the witness of the Lord. Just raise your hands and praise him. I've had the favor of God. You have. Some of us would not be here today. I would not be a preacher if it wasn't for the grace of God that touched me. I would not be here because of the other things I went through. If it was not for the grace of God, I would have given up. But because of the grace of God, something inside of me wouldn't let me give up. Hallelujah! You realize the power of this. You realize the power of the gospel. It is the power of God to salvation, everyone believe it. Because of the grace of God. And Paul said, for us not to measure ourselves by someone else. We follow God as our master, our own master. Every person is an individual. And God calls people individually, some for greater tasks than others. But everyone is important to do the will of God. You are very unique because no one can take the space that you're taking right now. 5 billion people or so in the world, they are not in the place that you're in. They're not taking the space that you're in right now. You're displacing some air. You're displacing some place. And I know some people displaced with hot air and advisors. I know. But you're unique. And you're breathing because God took time to give you life. But I'm here. God, this is unique. When you receive him, he gives you a unique calling. And everybody has a calling from God. You have a place to fulfill. You know, when he said to pray like this, when disciples told teachers to pray, our Father art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed means holy. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That is talking about salvation in you, that you might be saved and ready for heaven. But not only that, but the works of God, the calling of God might be done on earth, might be fulfilled. The will of God might be fulfilled on earth as it is in heaven. You're unique because God has called you. Every one of us is unique because God has called us to do something. You don't have to be a pulpit ministry to do something for God. The important thing is to do what God has called you to do. And some people are running from the presence. God what God wants them to do. They're not understanding that in their mind. They think, well, I wouldn't run from God. I wouldn't talk about God. I wouldn't run from God. What you're doing or what you're not doing. But your sins of omission, there's not only sins that you do, but that you don't do, but there's also sins of omission. It's the things that you're not doing. Not just the things you're doing for God, it's the things that you're not doing. And sometimes it's the things that you're not doing that makes you run from the presence of God. Now, I've run from the presence of God before. Did I backslide? No, I didn't backslide or backslide because I still believe God, still served God, but there was times that I disobeyed God, and God sent the whale. It wasn't the kind that Jonah had, but it was a whale. Something swallowed me up, and I was enclosed in that area, and I couldn't get out of it. My mind, my emotions, my mind, I couldn't get out of that area. God had me closed in, and sometimes God has us closed in. And when we close in, we run. We don't know what to do, so we run. Come on, somebody said amen. We run, or we make a rash decision, or we just follow what the devil wants us to do. We do it, and we run from the presence of God. Now, you don't have to give account to me, but you do have to give account to God. And that makes a difference with me. I am to see after you. If God has called you this body, and I'm your pastor, you're a sheep, I'm accounted for you. I'm accounted to you. Your soul's accounted. That means I have the right to, and Timothy Paul said, I have the right to instruct you in righteousness, and I have the right to rebuke you and reprove you when you're wrong. People that cannot be reproved are no longer the children of God. He said, if you can't be chastened of the Lord, he said, you're illegitimate. You're none of mine, saith the Lord. So it's more than having an outward frame of knowing God, an outward frame of saying, well, I've been saved and filled the Holy Ghost, and I've done this, God done that. It's what you're not doing for God many times that causes you to run from God and make things not work out in your life. Get hot, get good. The truth will make you free. I don't know any better than to preach the word of God of truth. Now, it doesn't draw the multitude, but I tell you what, it'll get you to heaven if you listen to the word, because this is the pure word of God. It's not diluted. Hallelujah. It's the real word. It's the pure word of God that will set you free. I'm responsible to get you to heaven. I'm responsible to tell you the truth. I should not cater to people's whims. I should not cater to the childishness. Hello. But I should preach the word of truth that will set people free. You take a child that's pouting, every little thing offends them. If you give in to that pouting, they will keep that attitude. And they'll always be bothered with that attitude. Don't let them say anything. It's the truth. They'll always get mad. The least little thing, they get mad. You realize you're not running from somebody. If you run, you're not because of somebody else. You are running from the presence of God. You realize that. You will, because any time that you run from obedience, you run from the presence of God. There's those who's cut off from the word of God because they ran from the presence of God and disobeyed God. They started off good. You can't talk about how good you started off. You've got to finish the race. All of us got to finish the race. Saul, the first king of Israel, was small in his own sight. God used Saul in a great way, and God loved Saul. But there came a time when Saul began to do things in his own, that pride that took in his heart, and he thought he was the only, he could do what he wanted to. I'm telling you, I just can't leave this pastorship here because God is the one that sent me here. Because I get mad, I can't leave you. Somebody said amen. Because things go wrong, I can't leave you. I can't say, well, I got a better offer somewhere else. That's not what God's about. God calls ministry. But God also sets you in the body of Christ. He sets you in a place. He sets you in a place for obedience, to be subjected to those that's over you. The scripture said, as Paul said, follow me as a follower of Christ. The scripture says, to obey them to have the rule over you. Somebody's going to have the rule over you, but you've got to be submitted to them. If you're not submitted, if you don't respect them, you don't honor them, hello, I can't run because every little thing goes wrong. I can't run because every little problem comes. I have one to run. Every time I have one, different times that I thought, I just asked the Lord to take me, you know? But that's the easy way out. I was had a stomach problem years ago. And I was working with this preacher in the tent in Albany, Georgia. It wasn't you, Brother Brown. That was a different story, a different lifetime. And I got so sick in my stomach, so sick, that I was bent over with pain. And he came to pray for me. It was in my old travel trailer. He came to pray for me. And I said, brother, I'm going to die. You know what he told me? He really encouraged me. That brother really encouraged me. He said, that's the easy way out. That's what I wanted during that time, was the easy way out. But I learned from that, you don't run because of the devil. Folks, you don't run. If you're going to run over every little thing, you're going to run later on. If you can't keep up with the footman now, how are you going to keep up with the horseman in that day? You understand? You've got to stand. You've got to stand. You've got to become steadfast and unmovable for God to use you. This is serious because I am going to give an account for my calling, for my Paul said. He says, expedient that I preach the gospel. If I preach grudgingly, a dispensation of the gospel should be accounted to me. That means a mismanagement of the gospel is going to be accounted to me. Did you know that you can be saved, but your works can be burned up? You can be saved, but suffer loss. 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. All of our works are going to follow us. We're not saved by works, but our works are going to follow us. I do not want my works, what I'm doing for God, to burn up. And it will burn up if I run from the presence of God. If I disobey God, it will burn up. And the things that I have will become as nothing to people. When you run, people watch you. Somebody's watching you. Somebody's watching. If I run, some people are going to run. If they run, they're going to miss God. And some people that's strong enough is not going to run. But they're going to hold on to God. But I won't be much of a light to them. I won't be an encouragement. They will not respect the call of God in my life if I run. The devil can be running to you many times in the pastor's church. 15 years ago, I'm telling you, many times he took up a running shoe. And he gave the permission to run. Hello. I didn't want to run from the presence of God. I didn't want to run from the call of God. I didn't want to run what God gave me, for the vision God gave me. I didn't want to sacrifice more finances somewhere else, bigger crowds, all these things. I did not want to sacrifice what God had put in my heart. I did not want to run from the presence of God, even though I was preaching and would have been preaching, they want to run from the presence of God. You cannot hide behind your calling and what you're doing for God right now. I remember times in my life where I missed God and I was still preaching. I wasn't going out in sin, don't mean that. I remember one time when God spoke to me, and the devil fought me so much about the gifts and about using the gifts. The devil just fought so much when I ministered to people. And I said, I was in Norristown, Georgia, preaching, and I said, I'm not going to prophesy no more. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to preach. I'm just going to preach the way that I'm going to preach. And I got by the pulpit, and never forget the message with the voice of God. And scripture wrote down for the voice of God was supposed to preach. When I got up there, I'm here to tell you that my words felt like they were falling down from my mouth, my lips, falling to the ground. I had no anointing. I couldn't hardly get the word out. It was something stopping me up. God has showed me something. I refuse. I refuse to obey God. I would run from the presence of God. Even though I was preaching, I would run from the presence of God. Jonah was God was a man of God, but he was running from the presence of God. You're still a man of God, run from the presence of God. I run from the presence of God. God has shown me something, the service about a young evangelist out there preaching in the tent. And I wouldn't tell him that. And I'll tell you those words, I couldn't hardly get the words out. I was all, I mean to tell you, it was just like I couldn't hardly speak. And I said, all right, Lord, I'm going to obey you. And I told him to stand up. I said, he's been struggling in the tent. I said, next week, maybe God will move for you. And prior to that, he was discouraged. He waited for the word of the Lord. He did, and God did exactly what God spoke. And the anointing fell on me again. That's the first time. First time God spoke to me. I resigned at church, matter of fact, and by yourself, years ago. And God spoke to me to go to Florida. And I didn't go to Florida. I went to Michigan. I had it in my mind. I was going to get me a nice vehicle and a nice travel trailer. And then we're going to evangelize. That's not what God told me to do. God didn't tell me to make sure that I had provisions and then I'd go. God told me to go, and I ran from the presence of God. Well, I'm still saved. I was still saved. And I got up there, and it was weeks before I finally found a job. And I started working with American Motors, the train division. And I even preached in some places. And the anointing, God took the anointing away from me. He took the anointing of God. God didn't show me nothing. The Lord wouldn't show me nothing. God wouldn't speak to me for 4.5 months. I made good money. They liked me there. They didn't want me to leave. I was up for a raise and a company raise on top of that. I was up for promotion. But I was miserable and I did not care because I ran from the presence of God. I was still preaching, still praying, still reading the word of God, but I ran from the presence of God. I thought there was other places maybe Jonah was preaching. But this particular place here about Nineveh, history tells us that Nineveh, many of the people that went there to Nineveh, even preachers, were killed. Many of them beheaded, killed. And he knew Nineveh was a bad place, and he ran from the presence of God. If you could have seen up ahead, he would have done it different. And the things back then, every one of us would have done different. Well, you know what? We can do it now. We can regain the time. The Bible tells about the parable. Jesus spoke in parables, if I understand the spiritual. I always refer to the kingdom of heaven. A man, he said, went out on a far journey. That's the Lord. He left and said, come back. So the occupiers would come to service. He gave them money to invest, to do something with. He went on that far journey. One day he came back. The Lord's coming back. One day he's coming back. And the one he gave the 5 pounds to, in one place, pounds of talents. He gave the 5 pounds to, he gained 5 pounds. He invested it. He obeyed God. And the Lord made him a ruler over many a city, 5 or 10 cities. The next one only had 2 left. So you see, God measures out the calling accordingly. Don't measure yourself and say, I'm not doing what somebody else, I'm not among as many people as somebody else. I'm not doing what, you know, I don't sing like somebody else, I don't preach, I don't teach, I don't do this like somebody else. God has called you for a particular place in this world. And God doesn't judge according to man. I don't believe God judges according to the quantity that you make, it's your obedience. It's your obedience to what God has called you. If it's the witness, it's your obedience. Whatever God's called you to do, it's to reach out to souls near or far. It's obedience. I talked to a man that had called me from Franklin. He's a pastor in Franklin. He called me. He checks on me every once in a while. His daughter has spina bifida, just like Alan here. And they call me. Every once in a while, they call me and check on me. And, you know, he's been here once before, but the visit, they want to come real bad. But, you know, a lot of people don't want to have much to do with them because he's nervous to think of God. He talks a lot. And it's just that he's very loud the way he says things. And so people don't have much to do with him. But he was telling me that he was witnessing one-to-one. You don't need a pulpit ministry. The last couple of months, there's three people that ministered one-to-one, one to the Lord. They're not bragging about it because I asked God to help me to win people one-to-one also. Not just in church, but one-to-one. Help them to become a witness. Come on, folks. Amen. Don't run from the presence of God. Become a witness. First, you've got to have a testimony in your life for people to follow you. They got to see Christ. What they read in you is how they read Christ. Your attitude's bad, that's the way they judge Christ. You understand that? Some people never serve God because they watch others. And because of the way they do things, and because of the way they disobey things, the devil life they live. And that's why people sometimes never come back to God. It's because they think that's the way that Christ is. You say you go to church and you witness to people and you live a double life. I'm going to tell you, that's who they say Christ is. Because we're the ambassadors of Christ. Now, if you live a good life, God in life, people say this is something about that person. They want to find that God that you've got because they see something that they've never had in their life. See, that's the light of God in us. And every one of us has that light of God in us. There's some things that can come around just like a circle, sister. But God's going to clear things up for y'all. He's going to clear it up. No matter what, God's going to clear it up. It's going to come full circle again. Amen. Much you need, man, because God is God. You said that. God is God. You believe God to be God. You say, God, this is who you are. No matter what I'm going through, this is who you are. And God has heard your cry. And I'm going to tell you, God's going to move you, and God's going to give you strength again and all the stress. And you have bore things that not even from your own husband. You have bore a lot of pressure on yourself and things you worried about and things you went through. And you have bore that. It's been so hard for you to bear. And nobody else knows that except you and God. But I'm here to tell you that God's going to give you peace. That peace, the devil has robbed peace from you. You've tried to get a hold of it. And you can't, but this morning God sent you. Because God will give you peace, and God's going, and you try not to show your fear. You try not to show your problems, and you keep some from it because it bothers you. But I'm here to tell you that God is going to move. God will make a way where there's no way. In the name of Jesus, first of all, peace. He said, there is peace I've given to you, not as the world. There's a peace of God, let the peace of God lay in your heart. Peace, your nerve. You have bore this too long. You said to cast it upon you. We cast it upon you, and peace be still. And I bind the powers of hell that come against them, their home, against them as individuals. I bind the power of hell. We have authority in the name of Jesus to bind these powers, and we command them to flee and not come back in the name of Jesus. In the anointing of the Holy Ghost to touch you and strength and healing in your body. And I'll tell you what, that thing will not return back to your body in the name of Jesus. It will have no more control over you because you've been delivered from it. In Jesus' name, heal them. Your strength will come back to you. Your strength. Amen. In your body, in your legs, and your body, strength. In the name of Jesus, strength. Bless you, Lord, my shepherd. There it is. Go over now. There it is. There. So Judah rejoices, and Judah will shout out. When the enemy is tied up, even the flames, the enemy is tied up, God's going to answer me. Just said, well, I fear the Lord. Come on and praise him. Come on and praise him. He's in this place. God is touching. Come on, let God touch you. How this works. This works, folks. This works. Hallelujah. Would you stand on your feet and just love him? Tonight, I'm going to finish this message, try to finish this message, running from God. I feel the Lord in this place. I feel the Lord in this place. Amen. In my name, Shinya, I love you, I love you, I love you. Go ahead, praise him. Turn this place. This is the place you can praise him, folks. Come on, just go praise God. Just go and love him. Go and love God. He's in this place. Love him. Come on and love God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. 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 Come on. Come on. Just praise him. Let the Lord minister to you. Let the Lord minister to you. Hallelujah. For every head, Papa, I close and I want to go around. Is there anybody here? You say, I need to receive him into my heart and life. I want to receive Jesus. I'll help you pray. In a moment's time, you can make it right with him. In a moment's time. In a moment's time, God will forgive you. He will cleanse you of all sin by his blood shed on Calvary. He will put life in you and that much more abundantly. He will give you that gift of eternal life. If anybody would come, hallelujah. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Come on.
Glory out to
me. Gently. In the name of Jesus, we pray. You said to lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. You told us to heal the sick in your name. So in Jesus' name, we lay hands on him and believe him. Smite, this is coming against your body. Your spirit of infirmity, I bind you. I command you to release your body now. And release every nerve in this body to be healed and restored. I speak to every nerve to be restored. I speak to every nerve in this body to be restored. In the name of Jesus Christ, be healed. Be healed now. Be healed all the way down. Be healed in the name of Jesus and strengthen her. If this is coming in from my tormented heart, I bind every vexing spirit and a tormenting spirit will take control over you. I command you to release from her mind and go now. And in emotions, I command us to release and to go, having it all the way down her feet, from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. Be healed. Let there be no more burning. Let there be no more pain. In the name of Jesus, be healed in Jesus' name. Because you're paying for this one. Calvary. Healing virtue through your name. Healing virtue through your name. you in virtue. Behold, in the name of Jesus Christ. Behold, in the name of Jesus Christ.
This is Brother Wells. We hope that you're enjoying these messages. And I tell you, if you're disobeying God, it's like running from God, like Jonah did. But don't run from the presence of God. Don't run, because he chastises whom he loves. But receive him into your heart if you don't know him. Receive him as Lord and Savior. He'll be faithful and just, forgive you of all unrighteousness, he said. And if you need to rededicate your life, ask him, Lord, forgive me because I've disobeyed you. In Jesus' name, we love you. Bless you.